Good morning. I want to welcome each of you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And thank you for dialing in. I know that Jerry's studied and prayed, asked the Lord for guidance on the message that he is to deliver to us today, and ask that each of you say a silent prayer for him as he takes the stand, and that you also pray that you would receive, pardon me, what the Lord has put on Jerry's heart to deliver to that to us. And so I turn it over to my brother, Elder Jerry Case.
Thank you, Benny. I want to also thank you for the prayer. My desire, too, is just like you pray that the Lord would put his words in my mouth and that he would speak to your hearts. I also want to acknowledge that today is Mother's Day. And very grateful. I feel like I was very blessed. My mother, I feel like, raised me well. I grew up with a saintly example. My mother tried hard to teach me, and I know that I must have been frustrating at times, but I think through her raising and her prayers that I've been brought to this place by the love of God to be able to stand before you and to preach. I think of I don't have chapter and verse right now before me, but I think of the stripling soldiers that went forth to protect God's people here on this land, and how they were taught by their mothers, and they went forth in great faith and strength to defeat the armies there, and though some were injured and even fainted for loss of blood, that none were lost, and it was because of the power of God in them, because of the teachings that their mothers had done for them. And I want to talk today about, I guess you'd call it a new day, about being transformed, about having your mind renewed, and not going just through the motions. I'm going to start with Romans. And I'm going to start with the 12th chapter. And I'm just going to read the first couple verses. I'm not sure what I would have titled this sermon. I might have even just titled the sermon Romans 12, verse 1 and 2. Now I'm going to start with verse 1 here of chapter 12 of Romans. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I obviously, too, in my mind, this time of year, we think about the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, that atonement that he made for us. And what do we do in the light of that sacrifice? What do we do in the light of that atonement? How in some small way do we give back? Do we dedicate? Do we consecrate our life to the Lord? I really appreciated the service a couple weeks ago when many of you bore your testimonies about when you first knew for sure about God, when you first began to dedicate your life to him. and the things that took place in your life at that time. I'm turning over now to Colossians, the third chapter, to read more about this sacrifice, this dedication of our lives to the Lord, this renewing of our minds. Chapter 3 of Colossians, I'm going to start with the first verse. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. And that, actually, I think those words, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. And I think of the song that Brendan just picked out for us, that love lifted me, that God's love lifted us. I think so often in life that it's the Lord who carries us through even the hardest times, especially the hardest times. And that often when times are easy, we can easily fall to the illusion that that we have the strength in and of ourselves to live this life. Let me go back to that verse. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon this earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which we also walked some time when we lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him. For there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. I want to just say a couple words about forgiving. I think there's some kind of a halfway point in forgiveness where we struggle or we try to forgive and yet we fall short of the mark. I believe going forth to forgive with real intent, we often miss the mark. We fall into the idea that to forgive someone, you have to go and talk to them and get close enough to it that you realize that all their intentions were good, or it was only a mistake, or in some way we have to be able to justify it, or to find out it was only a misunderstanding, and then we can forgive them. And I think the full measure of forgiveness is as Christ, you know, it speaks, where is that in? I'm going to turn over to Hebrews real quick, but keep your finger in Colossians. Actually, I'm having trouble finding it, but it's where it talks about the Lord and his sacrifice and the fact that when he gave his life, he gave it for us while we were yet sinners. And so I want to, in that light, think of forgiveness. That when somebody offends you, even with full intent, that you pray and ask God to help you forgive. There's a funny thing about forgiveness in that when you don't forgive, the destruction occurs within you. The evil and the harm happens to you, the one who does not forgive. And so, I think in the end, after, you know, when we go to resolve issues between us and our brother, we need to understand and take advantage of the full value of forgiveness, being able to forgive them, and let that that anger, the hurt, go. Let me go back to Colossians, where I was reading. Since I was talking about forgiveness again, I'll restart at verse 13. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. And I think that many times as we've thought about, you know, like the rod of iron and hanging on to it to keep yourself on that straight and narrow path, what is it that helps you hang on, that keeps you solid there? You know, and it's hanging on to that, the Word of God, that rod of iron. But there's more to it, I believe, that we find in this 14th verse. Above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. It's charity that provides that strength with which you hang on to the Word of God. There's another scripture, and I won't recall chapter and verse right now either, but it's where it talks about that people were deceived and they fell away, and it said it was because they loved not the truth. Which again, it brings us back to this 14th verse, and above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. It's the thing that bonds us together. It's the thing that I believe helps us be able to truly forgive. And it's the thing that helps us to hang on to God's Word. It's because we love it. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And I think about all, the word all in there, to do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. I even think that sometimes when we struggle to make a decision and we're not sure what to do, that this is a verse that is a bit guiding in those things. That if among the choices there's one that you feel like you couldn't do in the name of Christ, if it's a choice you couldn't make in the name of Christ, then don't do it. Verse 18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, Obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, as men-pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for if ye serve the Lord Christ, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. And again, I'd come back because I feel like this verse is largely the heart of my sermon today also. Verse 23, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto man. I think that this is part of the renewing of your mind. That when you do things, you do it with great... I think sometimes we misunderstand the word passion, but I think that passion is the right word. Whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, with passion, as to the Lord and not unto men. You pour your heart and your soul into it. Try to do well, and you try to do well for the Lord. I'm going to go back and frame a situation here. I think it's something that helps me sometimes, and maybe it'll be something that speaks to you too and helps you, is to picture yourself in a situation. And I've chosen a situation that occurred, around recently. We celebrated Easter, the crucifixion of Christ, him being risen, that atonement being made for us. So this is around that time in history. This is in the Book of Mormon. I'm going to start reading on page 624 in the Book of Mormon. It's chapter 4, and I'm just going to read the 1st through the 10th verses here. Again, this is on page 624 in my book, 6th verse, chapter 4, 3rd book of Nephi. And it came to pass in the 34th year, the first month, in the 4th day of the month, there arose a great storm, such as one as never has had been known in all the land. And this is the great storm that they were, Samuel the Lamanite had prophesied about, that the sign on this land when Christ would be crucified would be the darkness. The 3 days of darkness and the great storms that would hit. And this is that storm. And it came to pass that in the 30 and fourth year, in the first month, in the 4th day of the month, there arose a great storm. And this was at the crucifixion of Christ, such as one as never has been known in all the land. And there was also a great and terrible tempest. And there was a terrible thunder, insomuch that it did shake the whole earth as if it was about to divide asunder. And there were exceeding sharp lightnings, such as never had been known in all the land. And the city of Zarahemla did take fire, and the city of Moroni did sink into the depths of the sea, and the inhabitants thereof were drowned. And the earth was carried up upon the city of Moronaha, that in the place of that city thereof there became a great mountain, and there was a great and terrible destruction in the land southward. But behold, there was a more great and terrible destruction in the land northward, for behold, the whole face of the land was changed because of the tempests and the whirlwinds and the thunderings and the lightnings and the exceeding great quaking of the whole earth. I'm going to jump over here to the 16th verse now. And it came to pass that when the thunderings and the lightnings and the storm and the tempest and the quakings of the earth did cease, for behold, they did last for the space of 3 hours. And it was said by some that the time was greater. Nevertheless, all these great and terrible things were done in about the space of 3 hours. And then, behold, there was a darkness upon the face of the land. And it came to pass that there was thick darkness upon the face of all the land, insomuch that the inhabitants thereof, which had not fallen, could feel the vapor of darkness. And there could be no light because of the darkness, neither candles nor torches, neither could there be fire kindled with their fine and exceeding dry wood, so that there could not be any light at all. And there was not any light seen, neither fire, nor glimmer, neither the sun, nor the moon, nor the stars, for so great were the mists of darkness which were upon the face of the land. And it came to pass that it did last for the space of 3 days, and there was no light seen. And there were great mourning and howling and weeping among all the people continually. Yea, great were the groanings of the people because of the darkness and the great destruction which had come upon them. And so these people have just gone through a great and terrible calamity on this land, where a whole city sunk under the sea and the people were drowned, where one city, I think it was Moronaha, literally the earth, pardon?
I think it was Moronaha.
Anyway, the city sunk and the earth piled over on top of it, and in the place thereof was a great mountain. They were just covered over. Great and terrible calamities, whirlwinds that people were carried away in. And so that's the situation these people have just gone through, and it was followed by these 3 days of terrible, thick darkness, where they couldn't even kindle a fire that would shed light. Let me start reading then at the 26th verse. And it says, "And it came to pass that there was a voice heard among all the inhabitants of the earth upon all the face of this land, crying, Woe, woe, woe unto this people. Woe unto the inhabitants of the whole earth, except they shall repent. For the devil laugheth, and his angels rejoice because of the slain of the fair sons and daughters of my people. And it is because of their iniquity and abominations that they are fallen. Behold, that great city Zarahemla have I burned with fire, and the inhabitants thereof. And behold, the great city Moroni have I caused to be sunk into the depths of the sea, and the inhabitants thereof to be drowned. And behold, the great city Moronaha have I covered with earth, and the inhabitants thereof, to hide their iniquities and their abominations from before my face, that the blood of the prophets and of the saints shall not come up any more unto me against them. And behold, that great city Moronaha have I covered with the earth, and the inhabitants thereof, to hide their iniquities and their abominations from before my face, that the blood of the prophets and the saints shall not come up any more against them." And so we find that in this great tempest, in these earthquakes, that the things that happened there were not, should I say, accidental? They're not coincidental according to the storm. They were brought about by the judgments of God. Was God carrying out his judgment upon these people at that time. And so it's almost, you might even compare it to the great flood in the day of Noah, that these people living with secret combinations and the different things they had going on among them, there was great evil. And at this time, when the Lord was crucified, he carried out his judgment in these 3 hours of storms and then this darkness. And those that were left to mourn and, should I say, awaken? Can you imagine yourself in this situation, in the dark? You couldn't do anything else. You're left only with the sound of your own voice and the and others in mourning. You're left only with the sound and only with the thoughts of your mind to kind of deal with what's just happened, and that everything as you've known it in life has been kind of destroyed and taken away. And it's just you there in the dark to think through all of this. Let me start reading with verse 40 now. I'm going to skip over. This is on page 627, verse 40 of the fourth chapter of the third book of Nephi. And many great destructions have I caused to come upon this land and upon this people, because of their wickedness and their abominations. And all ye that are spared, because ye were more righteous than they, will ye not now return unto me, and repent of your sins, and be converted, that I may heal you? So they're still hearing this voice of the Lord speaking to them. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if ye will come unto me, ye shall have eternal life. Behold, mine arm of mercy is extended towards you, and whosoever will come, him will I receive, and blessed are they which cometh unto me. Behold, I am Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I created the heavens and the earth, and all things that in them are. I was with the Father in the beginning. I am in the Father, and the Father in me, and in me hath the Father glorified his name. I came unto my own, and my own received me not. And the scriptures concerning my coming were fulfilled. And as many as I have received me, to them have I given to become the sons of God. And even so will I do, to as many as shall receive, shall believe on my name. For behold, by me redemption cometh. And in me is the law of Moses fulfilled. I am the light and the life of the world. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And ye shall offer up unto me no more the shedding of blood. Yea, your sacrifices and your burnt offerings shall be done away, for I will accept none of your sacrifices unto you, your sacrifices and your burnt offerings. And ye shall offer for a sacrifice unto me a broken heart and a contrite spirit. And whoso cometh unto me with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, him will I baptize with fire and with the Holy Ghost, even as the Lamanites, because of their faith in me. At the time of their conversion, they were baptized with fire and with the Holy Ghost, and they knew it not. Behold, I have come unto the world to bring redemption unto the world, to save the world from sin. Therefore, whoso repenteth and cometh unto me as a little child, him will I receive, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. For brevity's sake, I'm going to jump over now to the fifth chapter of this same book and start reading with the first verse. And it came to pass that there were great multitudes. There were a great multitude gathered together of the people of Nephi round about the temple, which was in the land Bountiful. And they were marveling and wondering one with another, and were shewing one to another the great and marvelous change which had taken place. And they were also conversing about this Jesus Christ, of which the sign had been given concerning his death. And it came to pass that while they were thus conversing one with another, they heard a voice as it came out of heaven, and they cast their eyes round about, for they understood not the voice which they heard. And it was not a harsh voice, neither was it a loud voice. Nevertheless, and notwithstanding it being a small voice, it had pierced them that did hear to the center, insomuch that there was no part of their frame that it did not cause to quake. Yea, it did pierce them to the very soul, and did cause their hearts to burn. And it came to pass that again they heard the voice, and they understood it not. And again the third time they did hear the voice, and did open their ears to hear it, and their eyes were toward the sound thereof. And they did look steadfastly towards heaven, from whence the sound came. And behold, the third time they did understand the voice which they heard. And it said unto them, Behold, my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, in whom I have glorified my name, hear ye him. And it came to pass, as they understood, they cast their eyes up again toward heaven, and behold, they saw a man descending out of heaven, and he was clothed in a white robe, and he came down and stood in the midst of them. And the eyes of the whole multitude were turned upon him, and they durst not open their mouths, even one to another, and wist not what it meant, for they thought it was an angel that had appeared unto them. And it came to pass that he stretched forth his hand and spake unto the people, saying, Behold, I am Jesus Christ, of whom the prophets testified should come unto the world. And behold, I am the light and the life of the world, and I have drunk out of that bitter cup which the Father hath given me, and have glorified the Father in taking upon me the sins of the world, in the which I have suffered the will of the Father in all things from the beginning. And it came to pass that when Jesus had spoken these words, the whole multitude fell to the earth, for they remembered that it had been prophesied among them that Christ should shew himself unto them after his ascension into heaven. And it came to pass that the Lord spake unto them, saying, Arise and come forth unto me, that ye may thrust your hands into my side, and also that ye may feel the prints of the nails in my hands and in my feet, that ye may know that I am the God of Israel and the God of the whole earth, and have been slain for the sins of the world. And it came to pass that the multitude went forth and thrust their hands into his side, and did feel the prints and the nails in his hands and in his feet. And this they did do, going forth one by one, until they had all gone forth, and did see with their eyes, and did feel with their hands, and did know of a surety, and did bear record that it was he of whom it was written by the prophets should come. And I think about what it would be like to have been in that day, having survived this great calamity. And I believe it's clear as you read through how it happened and the words of that great voice of the Lord that spoke to the people afterwards, that it was by his choice that he would have survived that. It was because he gave you the chance that you would have survived it. And to realize that he had drank of that bitter cup, that atonement had taken place for your soul, and that he even came and you got to see him descend. And to hear the voice of his Father saying, you know, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. And to go forth and to be able to thrust your hands into his side where that spear had pierced him through. And to see the nail scars in his hands. and know that this atonement had taken place because of you and me. It had taken place for you and me, that we might have a chance. And to feel, what do I do with this time? In the day that we live, we have an inertia, I guess, you know, that we take on a certain direction and we fill our life with certain things. And they kind of keep us within a path that we feel trapped in. And what I'd like to do by telling you the things I've just told you, by reading these things and letting you know what happened to these people, I'd like to awaken you to the fact that every day is just like this. Every day, you can do, even, you know, it's in the fifth chapter of Luke. Turn it over there real quick. Fifth chapter of Luke, where the Lord had come to Simon Peter and the other fishermen that were with him, and he had spoken to the people out of the boat, and it's that occasion where he told them to cast down their nets again, and they filled the boats with such a great number of fishes, even though they had tried up until then and taken none. When they did it at his word, they cast down their nets, and they took in such a number of fishes that it began to sink the boats. And even though Peter, at the time, Simon, the way he felt about it, he said, you know, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. You know, the Lord said in the 10th verse, he said, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch man. And when they had brought their ships to land, 11th verse, that 15th chapter, they forsook all and followed him. And it's that ability that I want you to understand, to realize, that regardless of what yesterday was, regardless of all the things that are in your life, do you need a great and terrible tempest to come and destroy all those things within your life so that you can feel to start over, so that you can feel to renew your mind and begin to give that sacrifice of a broken heart and a contrite spirit that he has asked for? There's a song that I hear. I drive a ways to work, and I tend to listen to Christian radio. And this particular song, I believe the title is The Motions, and it's a song by Matthew West. In the words of that song, I'm just going to lift out one stanza. It says, I don't want to go through the motions. I don't want to go one more day without your all-consuming passion inside of me. I don't want to spend my whole life asking, what if I had given everything instead of going through the motions? And that's the thing that I want to present before us today, that this day is the opportunity to start over. This day is the opportunity to be his. This day, if you've not been baptized, to really think about it seriously. This day, you can lay aside all your sins. You can repent and come unto him. and be baptized and begin to live with your life, as it says in Colossians, to do everything in His name. To be consumed with that charity, that bond of perfectness, and to do everything heartily, with all the energy of your heart, unto God. I've turned over to the ninth chapter of the third book of Nephi. I'm looking to see where to start here. Just read you during that short time that Jesus, you know, I read one instance, the first instance where he descended and came to the people at the temple and presented himself before them, and he called out to Nephi, and Nephi went up and he kissed his feet. That was in the fifth chapter of the third book of Nephi. And now I turned over to the ninth chapter, the third book of Nephi. And as this ninth chapter starts out, he's been there with the people, teaching them and performing miracles before them. And when he left at the end of the day, he ascended in a cloud, and the people actually saw it. And the noise went out to the people abroad, and they spent all the night preparing and trying to get their families and others to come with them to be where the Lord would come to them again the next day and speak to them. And so that's that instance where I'm going to read about here. And it came to pass that on the morrow, when the multitude had gathered together, behold, Nephi and his brother, this is the fourth verse I'm starting with, of the ninth chapter of the third book of Nephi. And it came to pass that on the morrow, when the multitude had gathered together, behold, Nephi and his brother, whom he had raised from the dead, whose name was Timothy, and also his son, whose name was Jonas, and also Mathoni and Mathonaha, his brother, and Cumen and Cumunihi, and Jeremiah, and Shemnon, and Jonas, and Zedekiah, and Isaiah. Now these were the names of the disciples whom Jesus had chosen. And it came to pass that they went forth and stood in the midst of the multitude. And behold, the multitude was so great that they did cause that they should be separated into 12 bodies. And the 12 did teach the multitude. And behold, they did cause that that multitude should kneel down upon the face of the earth and should pray unto the Father in the name of Jesus. And the disciples did pray unto the Father also in the name of Jesus. And it came to pass that they arose and ministered unto the people. And when they had ministered those same words which Jesus had spoken, nothing varying from the words which Jesus had spoken, behold, they knelt down and prayed unto the Father in the name of Jesus. And they did pray for that which they most desired. And they desired that the Holy Ghost should be given unto them. And when they had thus prayed, they went down unto the water's edge, and the multitude followed them. And it came to pass that Nephi went down into the water and was baptized. And he came up out of the water and began to baptize, and he baptized all of them whom Jesus had chosen. And it came to pass, when they were all baptized and had come up out of the water, the Holy Ghost did fall upon them, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And behold, they were encircled about as if it were fire. And it came down from heaven, and the multitude did witness it, and do bear record. And the angels did come down out of heaven, and did minister unto them. And it came to pass that while the angels were ministering unto the disciples, behold, Jesus came, and stood in the midst, and ministered unto them. And it came to pass that they spake unto the multitude, that he spake unto the multitude and commanded them that they should kneel down again upon the earth, and also that the disciples should kneel down upon the earth. And it came to pass that when they had all knelt down upon the earth, he commanded his disciples that they should pray. Behold, they began to pray, and they did pray unto Jesus, calling them their Lord and their God. And it came to pass that Jesus departed out of the midst of them and went a little way off from them and bowed himself to the earth. And he saith, Father, I thank thee that thou hast given the Holy Ghost unto these whom I have chosen, and it is because of their unbelief, and is because of their belief in me that I have chosen them out of the world. Father, I pray thee that thou wilt give the Holy Ghost unto all them that shall believe in their words. Father, thou hast given them the Holy Ghost because they believe in me, and thou seest that they believe in me because thou hearest them. And they pray unto me, and they pray unto me because I am with them. And now, Father, I pray unto thee for them, and also for all them that should believe on their words, that they may believe in me, that I may be in them, as thou, Father, art in me, that we may be one. And it came to pass that when Jesus had thus prayed unto the Father, that he came unto his disciples, and behold, they did still continue without ceasing to pray unto him, and they did not multiply many words, for it was given unto them what they should pray, and they were filled with desire. And I'm going to leave off with reading there, because I believe that these very same things are our opportunity that is given to us to be filled with the Holy Ghost, to be given what we should pray, to be filled with desire. And so, as I would close, I would just say, as we go from here, let's not just go through the motions. Let's do have his all-consuming passion inside of us. And don't look back with regret. When you take your last breath of life, be able to feel like you did everything you could. You gave everything you could. And by the power of God, you were able to live a good life. And go to your Maker, knowing that you did all. I thank you, and I ask for your prayers for me that, you know, I can do these same things, and I'll be praying for you. Thank you.